today on Real Radio.
If you know anything about world history at all, and if you've studied any cultural characteristics around the world, throughout human history, wherever Christianity has come to a nation, women are liberated and highly esteemed and brought to a place of equality with man. Freedom.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 5 and focusing on a particular verse, verse 18. It's a double command that we are not to be drunk or under the influence of any abused substance for that matter, but rather to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Living the Spirit-Filled Life.
I want you to listen carefully. Who is Paul speaking to? Believers or non-believers? Believers. Did they have the Holy Spirit in them? Yes, they did. Were they born again? Yes, they were. Were they going to heaven? Yes. Then why does he say here, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a command. Just as wine takes you under its influence, what happens? Well, a man begins, first of all, if you've ever noticed the progression, and hear me out, don't jump to any conclusions yet. As intoxicating drink is introduced into the system, there is a sense of light euphoria. There's this, it's kind of like the, you know, the NyQuil kind of a rush. Gee, I'm sicker than a dog, but this NyQuil's making me feel pretty good. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You're out like a light. There's this progression as the alcohol goes in. For a moment's time, it's, well, you know, and they're kind of nice, and that's the moment to ask the guy for a loan, by the way, when he's that nice. But hey, how are you? Just great. Oh, hey, you know, your buddy, old pal. You know, there's this thing, and then there's this next step, and it's kind of loud. You get a little loud. I bet my dad can beat up your dad. Well, I bet my mom could beat up your dad. Oh, yeah, well, what is that supposed to mean? And there's this thing, and then there's the stupidity part where the possession of the alcohol or the intoxicating drink takes you to a place of disaster. But Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, wherewith there is excess, or it leads to disaster. And when he uses the word drunk here, by the way, he's talking about being filled up. Don't be filled up, or don't let alcohol have an effect on you, or drugs have an effect on you. Why? Because you are operating under a totally different power than that which you would by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the interesting thing that he's drawing to our attention here is, just as alcohol takes possession of a person and begins to manipulate them, so the Holy Spirit desires to take possession of us, to manipulate us in a godly way toward righteousness. There's an ownership when somebody lifts that bottle to their lips. There's an old saying, that man has been sucking on that bottle for so long that now that bottle has sucked on him and has taken his life. The same thing is true about the Holy Spirit in a wonderful way. As the Holy Spirit is received in. There is that almost, you know, feeding process where it's wonderfully beneficial to the Christian. But Paul is using an opposing contradiction to teach a great lesson. And when a person goes after intoxicating drink, what are they doing? Back in your day, when you tried things like that, what were you doing? Think about it. It wasn't because it tasted well. It wasn't because, you know, I really need this. Why did you first try it in the first place? Listen, wasn't it because, first of all, you wanted to fit in? You probably wanted to fit in. Maybe there was some curiosity. Well, everybody else is doing it. So there was this act. But it didn't stay there, did it? It graduated off to other things. And now you wish that you could erase that part of your life. But what a person looks for in intoxicating drink and going after these things, the Holy Spirit fulfills completely. That person stands there with a drink at a party, and what they're saying, now listen, I don't say this to judge, I say this with compassionate pity, honestly, because I've been there. A person standing there at a party with a drink, if I see them now, you know, in my heart, I just say, oh Lord, help them. Because that drink in their hand is saying, I want to fit in, I want to be accepted, I want to be like everyone else. I want to be cool. I want to be okay. I want you to think that I'm okay. And I just want to have some peace and some rest, okay? I just want to be like everyone else. Because you assume that everyone else is okay. And they're assuming you're okay. But listen, it's a fraud and it's a fake. The only way that you can ever, ever experience acceptance and rest and peace and that sense of I'm okay, I'm a God's child, I'm accepted, I'm His, is not with the intoxicating drink that Paul's speaking of, but with the possession of the Holy Spirit over our lives. That's how. You experience true peace. You can be in a room full of people trying anything or everything to be accepted. And if you've got the Holy Spirit and if you are filled with the Spirit of God, have you noticed this in your life? You don't have to do these things anymore. You don't have to do drugs. You don't have to hold the beer in your hand to feel accepted. You can stand there. And have you noticed if you've been at a party and now that you're a Christian, you're standing there and you're having a great time. But people, they see you having a great time, but you don't have a beer in your hand. Or drugs in your face, or wherever, whatever. And it bothers them. Hey, come on, here, drink. I don't need it. Oh, come on. They get nervous. Why? Because you're standing there filled with peace, filled with confidence. You don't need to do that. You're happy, content in Christ. You're being a witness. You're not really like, you know, you didn't get up that morning and say, I'm going to go evangelize the party tonight. You're just being a witness. You know, your brother, your sister, or your aunt, or your uncle, your mom, somebody, you're invited. You're there. And it's flowing freely. And you're having a great time talking about the rams and the lambs, or the goats and the broncos or dolphins or whatever, and you're there, and you're having a fine time, but you're not tanked up and goofed up like everybody else. Why? There's a river in your heart flowing, the Holy Spirit. And so he says, don't be drunk with wine in which there's excess, but, and here's the incredible alternative and truth that's available to the world, of course, but listen, are you ready for this? Is available for us who are Christians. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Note in your Bible, it's capital S, Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, wait a minute. I thought when I accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came inside me. And here's where we get on some doctrinal fun stuff, because depending upon what denomination you came from, you were given a certain line of logic. And I don't want to get too into this thing, but we mentioned several weeks or months, or maybe it was a few years ago, I don't know. You need to understand, if you've come out of, say, you know, the Catholic Church, or say the Methodist Church, or Lutheran, you need to understand the history of their theology. Are they all millennialists? Are they post-millennialists? Are they premillennial? And you go, what in the world are you talking about? It has everything to do with this topic that we're looking at tonight. Because it is true. The moment you said yes to Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. Now, we've all heard this. This is basic Christianity. The moment you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. That is, the Holy Spirit moved in you. Jesus said in John's Gospel that the Holy Spirit has been with you. All along, all your life, the Holy Spirit's been with you. When you were a little kid, the Holy Spirit was with you. Did you know that? The Bible teaches that. All your life. Yeah, well, you know, Pastor Jack, I was a little Satanist. You know what? The Holy Spirit was with you. He wasn't approving, but he was with you. And as you grew up, he was with you. Always with you, the Bible mentions. In fact, the Bible uses the name for him in the Greek, Parakletos. Kletos, comforter, para, alongside, one who comes alongside to comfort you. He was always there. Pinocchio called him Jiminy Cricket. That voice, always speaking, always with you. The unbelieving world calls that your conscience. God was speaking to you all along. That's the function. Jesus says the Holy Spirit has been with you. And he says, listen, I'm going to the Father. He says the Holy Spirit has been with you. And he shall be in you. And in John, I think it's John chapter 20, there's the first event, there's the first recorded moment of somebody being born again. In John's Gospel, Jesus looks at his disciples and he is just ready to soon ascend, not too many days after this moment, and Jesus looks at them and the Bible says there that he breathed on them. And what does it say? And they received the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, did they believe in Jesus Christ before he breathed on them? Yes, they did. But did they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at that moment? No, they did not. That's the very first true record that we have in the Bible of them being born again. When Jesus breathed on the disciples, they received the Holy Spirit. You ought to note that. That's very, very powerful. It's very important, and you must understand this. The moment you gave your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. He's been alongside you all your life, then he comes inside you, and then what did Jesus say? Right before his ascension, he told the disciples, he says, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Remember? You go, you stay in Jerusalem, and you wait until the promise of the Father comes. For the Holy Spirit will come no longer, it's not alongside you. He didn't say the Holy Spirit will come in you. That was already done. He said the Holy Spirit will come what? Upon you. The word in the Greek is en, for inside. I-N, you know, I-N-N. E-N, same thing, Greek, inside. But epi, E-P-I, was the word that he used, totally different word in the Greek. That 50 days... The Pentecost, Pentecostals. You know, we call Christians that are Pentecostals, you know, because they really get into all of the, hey, that's kind of cool. That's the Penta, 50-day. 50-day Christians. That's what they call them in Eastern Europe, by the way. Did you know that? 50-day Christians. 50 days. 50-day Christians. What is that? They believe in the powers of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's great. It's wonderful. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And what happened in the book of Acts? In fact, why don't you turn over there? Book of Acts chapter 1, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord. That is, they're all together thinking the same thing. That's a miracle just in itself. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, does that mean if I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to speak in tongues? No, not necessarily. It's one of the evidences. The greatest evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is love. That is the greatest and most important. But in this particular case, and we'll see the reason why in a moment, they began to speak in other tongues. This is glossolalia, tongues of known languages of the world. By the way, there are instances of tongues that appear in the Bible, both of heavenly language, which we know not anything of. People spoke languages, or we should say words, that is not known on earth, and it had to be interpreted by the gift of interpretation, because they were, as the scriptures put it, Paul put it, tongues of angels. But then there were utterances of tongues of known languages. I heard somebody one time in a believer's meeting at Calvary Costa Mesa. Guy spoke out and sounded great. I don't know what he was saying, but it sounded great. Freaked out some people. This was in a meeting where they would actually wait upon the Lord for this. It was not during a teaching time like it is now, because the Holy Spirit would never interrupt himself. And somebody spoke in French. Well, I didn't know French. It could have been Greek to me. It could have been English to me. I wouldn't have understood it, you know? Well, somebody was there in French and understood exactly what was going on. That's interesting. But being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're going to speak in tongues. And nor should you ever say, well, Lord, you know, I know that I'm going to go to heaven, and I know that you live in my heart, but I don't want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I don't want to be walking down the street and start yakking around in some... That won't happen, friend. That will not happen. look what goes on here. Verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why? It was Pentecost. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused. The word is that they were amazed or shocked, because every one of them heard them speak in their own language. These were Galileans speaking, and they were speaking fluently, perfectly, different languages. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are these not all Galileans? Verse 8, how is it that we hear each in our own language? The word is actually dialectus. Perfect. Perfect. You know, they weren't even speaking with an accent. It was perfect. Whatever Peter, James, and John and these guys spoke, listen to this. Look at verse 9. It was perfect Parthian. It was perfect Median. Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, they heard perfect Egyptian. And even those from Libya, perfect Libyan. Adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, they heard perfect. Peter could have been speaking perfect Italian. It's amazing. It was a miracle of God. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue or our own language the wonderful works of God. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The first account that we have of this filling of the Holy Spirit is found in the life of John the Baptist. And you can kind of stretch it a little bit and say it was Elizabeth. The Bible says that Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. And then Zacharias, you know, John the Baptist's dad? It says, too, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But it also says concerning John the Baptist that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his very inception, from his very delivery, from his birth, John the Baptist. And then the Bible tells us in Luke's Gospel that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 4, the Bible tells us Jesus, being full of the Spirit, went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. Full of the Spirit. There's a difference. A Christian needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, when it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a word that appears here that we cannot in English, and I don't know, there's some here that speak foreign languages. Maybe your country or maybe your language can do it better. English cannot do it at all. The Greek word here, the best we can come to in verse 18 is be filled. That's all we can say. The word in the Greek is the perfect continuous tense. It's constant. It never stops. And it would sound like this. Those of us who are Christians, Paul is saying, I beg of you, listen carefully. You're believers. The Holy Spirit has been alongside you all of your life. When you gave your heart to Christ, He moved inside you. And according to Ephesians, He sealed you. And you're going to go to heaven. But listen, all of these things we just talked about fornication and drunkenness and all of this lifestyle that we once were involved in, and it ripped us off and robbed us and left us dead and dry. There's an answer. There's a power that's greater. The Holy Spirit has been there. He's in you. But now the Holy Spirit wants to be upon you. He wants to fill you up. And if we as Christians don't seek the filling of the Holy Spirit, we will be weak, apathetic, lackadaisical. Yes, we're going to go to heaven. Make no mistake about it. You're saved. But it is a filling of the Holy Spirit for power. The word in the Greek here, the best we can do is be always being or be being. Or we could use the word nonstop, continuously.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Living the Spirit-Filled Life, a study taken from Ephesians 5:18. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now remember that a week from this Friday, it's the Southern California Prophecy Conference that gets underway here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. That's February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The Southern California Prophecy Conference. And remember, there's no registration fee. We've taken the unprecedented step of waiving that cost simply because we want to get the information into your hands. And if you'd like to find out more, visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. Just a visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll quickly learn that had we not waived the registration fee, it would still be worth it. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll see a lineup of all the conference's contributors. You can also call us toll-free if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.